Poorness, the Bible says, is a kind of poor that you become poor that you might be blessed. And I wonder tonight, as we look at these verses, if you'll ask the Lord to help you to see if you're poor enough. If you're poor enough. We must be poor in spirit if we want the Lord to bless us the way he wants to bless us. The Bible said, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the precious word of God tonight and the powerful truths that we find within your word. The truths that first establish us into your family as a child of God. And then, Lord, for the truths that as we are established, then we are taught everything we need to know to live a successful, victorious, wonderful Christian life. Lord, help us tonight to understand that to be blessed is to become poor in spirit, and to become poor in spirit is to receive many, many blessings that you want us to have and you want to give us, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of others. I pray that you'll bless us and help us tonight. Help me as I speak and bring someone to that very place of their need tonight and meet that need, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This, we find tonight, is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was speaking to his disciples and instructed them how to live in a perverse generation and wicked world. He was trying to prepare them so that they could live in the perverse, wicked world and yet be living under the umbrella of the blessings of God himself. Tonight, there's no doubt about it that we live in a perverse world. There's no doubt about it that we live in a much more wicked environment than perhaps in the day of the disciples. And yet, living in that kind of an environment, there's an essentialness, I believe, that we understand that God wants to bless us to live right and to be successful and to bring glory and honor to God and to give to us the blessings that God would have us to have in this kind of environment that he's allowed us to live in. He was trying to equip them to get in on the abundant life that only exists under the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ and God on our lives. We can have the victory. We can have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what environment we are called upon to live in, no matter how wicked, no matter how perverse the world becomes. The Lord says, I still will bless you and use you. if you are poor in spirit. The first thing we see in blessed, in verse number 3, is the word blessed are the poor in spirit. There is a conversion that must happen in everyone's life, and would be probably the first time in their life that they really became poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit, the Bible is talking about the word poor as being lacking, having a recognition of yourself in that you are lacking something in your spirit. I think one of the prerequisites, if you will, if I may use that word, as God begins to convict an individual of his sin and begins to prepare him to be convinced of the truth that only the Spirit of God can perform these things, he works upon an individual to bring them to a place of poorness in spirit. They have to come to a place of understanding and realizing that they do lack something in their life. I know I was poor in spirit for a long time, but I did not know what I was lacking. I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know who I needed to come into my life. I didn't know about Jesus Christ. I didn't know about my sin nature. I didn't know about the sin penalty. And I was becoming poor in spirit, realizing and recognizing within myself I could not change my lifestyle. I could not change my destiny. I had no power whatsoever. I had no access. I had no way, because for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's necessary for conversion to take place. To become poor in spirit is to realize that by nature we are born poor in spirit. We lack being born by the Spirit of God into the family of God, and we are alienated from God by our sin nature. When Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, all of mankind became lacking in spirit. There was no spiritual birth with our first physical birth. And that's why the Bible said you're dead in trespasses and sin. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says we need to be quickened by the Spirit of God. John chapter 3 said except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There has to be a spiritual birth in a person's life, and they will not come to Christ and will not be saved until they become poor in spirit, understanding and recognizing that they are a sinner and they lack the Spirit and they need the Spirit. They need the salvation. They need the change. But not only it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, but then there has to be a repentance and faith. Look with me at verse 4, said, blessed are they that mourn, for theirs is the kingdom, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here Jesus gives the truth about repentance and faith. To mourn is to grieve in one's heart. One must realize that it was his sin that Jesus was dying for on the cross of Calvary. And repentance is just simply understanding the fact that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for every man, person, every person that's born. As he died upon the cross of Calvary, he was dying individually for our individual sin. It was our sins that nailed him there. It was our sins that he was dying for. It was our guilt. It was our shame. It was our sin that he was paying the price 100% for on the cross of Calvary. That should bring a person to repentance. understanding they cannot save themselves, and understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, gave the very best that He had in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross and pay our sin debt. It certainly should grieve us and bring us to repentance to realize that we owe a sin penalty of an eternal wage, which the Bible said the wages of sin is death, that's eternal death, resulting one day in the lake of fire for all eternity. And yet to realize that Jesus paid that debt for us and satisfied the justice of God in paying completely our sin debt that we owed as He died in our place. That ought to grieve us. Sheila sang the song this morning on how great the Father's love for us. And a part of that song, she was given from her heart a testimony, as the words were penned by an author, no doubt. But those words were given by someone that understood repentance and faith. Part of the song was that I heard my mocking voice. In other words, other songwriters said, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. That songwriter understood about repentance and faith. Understood that it's our individual personal sin nature and the acts of sin that we've committed that Christ was bearing on the cross of Calvary. And that speaks to our heart in the form of repentance. The Bible says in the last part of verse 4, for they shall be comforted. Strong's definition of comforted is to call near, invite, invoke, beseech, call for, desire, entreat, and pray. To be comforted, there must be a calling for. That's by faith. We repent, realizing how wonderful it is that Christ paid our sin debt and how responsible we are for His death. But then we call out by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This matter of repentance and faith is not a work. It's not something that man can do. It's not something that we come to a place and perform some kind of a ritual or ceremony. It's a grievousness that's in our heart that we have caused the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was because of His love for us that He gave Himself completely for us. And then by faith we decide and come to want to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and to give us eternal life. And thank God He does. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want to submit to you, I've talked with people, I've known people, I no doubt have preached to people that know all about God and know all about how to be saved. Know about heaven and know about hell, but they've never come to the place of being poor in spirit and realizing they lack in spirit and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. And until you come to the Lord, until you come recognizing, realizing that you lack a spiritual life, you lack a spiritual birth, you cannot go into eternity with Christ and into heaven for all eternity until you come to the reality of yourself and you respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there has to be a conversion. No wonder the Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit. But then there's characteristics that are realized of those that have become poor in spirit. I want to remind you that the Bible said that the Lord Jesus Christ became poor, that we might become rich in Him. And we certainly do have the riches of Christ appropriated to us through the means of our personal salvation. But along with that poor in spirit that brings a one to salvation, there's characteristics that God wants us to continue with a poor in spirit relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells us in verse number 5 that the first characteristic is a characteristic of humility. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is those that will humble themselves. A person that's not poor in spirit will not humble themselves in front of the Lord. They'll continue to try to work things out their way. They'll continue to be lifted up and puffed up and in pride and still trying to strive at accomplishing only what God can do for them and through them. True humility is to know that without Christ, the Bible says, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing. It's a wonderful day in every believer's life when he stays and comes to the place of understanding that without Christ, ye can do nothing. Without him, you really can't teach a Sunday school class correctly. Without him, you really can't witness like you ought to and should. Without a recognition of humility that God can perform anything he wants to do and everything he wants to do, but it's not because of who we are, it's because of who he is. And it's not because of what we want him to do, it's because of what he wants to do. And we maintain a poorness of spirit in true humiliation. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. The Lord said of Moses that he was the meekest man in all the world. Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price, which is in the sight of God of great price. That humbleness that God wants us to realize that we can do nothing without him. But he wants us to understand we can do all things through Christ who strengtheth us. That's humility. That's humility. And you need to understand, blessed are the poor in spirit, because of meekness that comes with a continual poorness of spirit. It's God's spirit within us. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It's the Holy Spirit that needs to work. It's the Holy Spirit that needs to produce. It's the Holy Spirit within us. And we are just a tool and need to stay humble for the Master's use. So one of the characteristics is going to be humility. Another characteristic of the poor in spirit is he'll have a hunger in verse number 6. There'll be a great hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. To hunger and thirst is to crave. It's something I've got to have. Now, any of you women, I understand, and I don't know this by experience, I promise you. Any of you women that have been blessed of seed to produce children, you know what it is to crave. Us men know what it is that you crave. We don't know what it is to crave like you crave. Because we're the recipients of going out at midnight trying to find an avocado. We know those things. That's to crave. We that are so sweet we turn to sugar. We know what it is to crave a Hershey's chocolate bar. Thank God for the sugar-free candies. Amen. If you've ever been in any kind of an athletic situation, you know what it is to thirst. If you've run track, if you played ball, and if you do play ball now, you know what it's like to just crave a glass of water. And the Bible says here, if we stay poor in spirit, there will be a continual hunger. We'll thirst, we'll crave after righteousness. We'll have an overwhelming desire and knowledge to know more about the God of our righteousness and have his righteousness in our life. If we never see any need for God's righteousness, if we never humble ourselves and do not really have the hunger that comes along with poor in spirit, we already are filled. How can he fill us? How can he fill us? So blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because they're the humble before God. And he can use them. And they have a hunger for God. And he can fill them. But then blessed are the poor in spirit. Because blessed are the merciful. So therefore they shall obtain mercy. To be merciful is to have compassion, be compassionate, and not have a judgmental spirit. Lord, help us. Help me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. We can be merciful as we are poor in spirit, realizing and continually recognizing we do not deserve God's mercy in our life. And when we judge someone and when we come down hard on someone and we do not show compassion and we do not show true mercy, we are really not poor in spirit. We are not showing forth the mercy that God wants us to show. Then blessed are those that are poor in spirit, because blessed are the pure in heart, in verse number 8. For they shall see God. The Bible said in Romans 4, chapter 5 through 7, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described it, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Praise the Lord. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Why? Because the purity in your life is the purity of the righteousness imputed to you by the Spirit of God as you realize you lacked in your spirit and became poor in spirit. Luke chapter 1 verse 74 and 75 said that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. If you're poor in spirit, to be blessed of God, there'll be a humility, there'll be a hunger, there'll be a mercifulness about you, there will be a purity of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ showing through your life all the days of your life. Then verse number 9 says there'll be a characteristic in your life of being a peacemaker. I honestly cannot understand why a person saved, born again, has received the mercy of God, has received the grace of God, has come to faith in the Lord and repented of their sins and been born into the family of God and has the Spirit of God dwelling within them. I cannot comprehend within my soul why they would not be a peacemaker. I can understand why someone that's never come to Christ and doesn't know God has never come to a place of poor in spirit at all could want to do things that are not peacemakers, but the opposite. And I don't think I'm talking foreign language tonight to those that are listening. If you are in this world and you have interaction with the world, be it at work or wherever, you will see and you will be able to see the characteristics of some that are far away from peacemakers. They delight in getting you angry. They delight in giving you difficulties and troubles and whatever you do. It seems the more you try to work and do what's right, the more they try to work against you to do what's wrong. But that's not the characteristic of one that's poor in spirit. He's one that wants to be a peacemaker. He wants to be blessed of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. As the children of God, we should be that kind of peacemaker. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If someone is mistreating you and someone is working against you, they need to see a peacemaker. You're not going to win a battle with them. You're not going to come to the top and as long as you haven't become poor in spirit to be a peacemaker and let God solve the difficulty. And a characteristic of one that lives poor in spirit is one that allows God to use them as a peacemaker. A peacemaker covers a lot of territory. It covers the territory of gossip. A peacemaker won't listen to gossip. A peacemaker won't be satisfied to hear somebody being talked down and misaligned and misused. A peacemaker will be one that will want to make peace in the situation, want to give somebody the opportunity to get into the place where they understand that they are between themselves and God and not be part of the problem, but be part of pointing someone to Christ that's the solution of their problem, a peacemaker. And then that one that live in poor in spirit will have a characteristic of joy in persecution. When I first saw these two verses years and years ago, I said, wow, this is supernatural. This is something I needed to know and something I needed to learn and something I need in my life, but this is not going to be possible within my spirit. I must be poor in spirit and allow God's spirit to accomplish this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely. for my sake. They that live godly shall suffer some persecution. And the Bible is instructing here. He was instructing his disciples, listen, guys, you're going to have some people that are going to talk wrong about you. You're going to have some that will persecute you. You're going to have some that will make fun of you. You're going to have some that will work against you. You're going to have some that will cause trouble in your life. Be a peacemaker. And as you're a peacemaker, realize there's joy in being persecuted for the Lord's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. I didn't write it, folks. But he's saying those that are blessed are poor in spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God takes over, and be exceedingly glad. Not just glad, not just joyous, but exceedingly glad. For he says, great is your reward in heaven, so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And might I also say they persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ and falsely accused him. And he's saying, that's the way you're blessed. If you'll live poor in spirit and you'll understand you need the Spirit's control and you need the Spirit's help and you need the blessing of the Spirit of God in your life, you'll have these characteristics. And even when you're persecuted and talked about and falsely used, you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad. But then those that live poor in spirit not only will have these characteristics, but there will be some conclusions of two things that the Bible said will result. First of all, you'll be the salt of the earth. Second of all, you'll be the light of the world. There is no other salt. It's those that become poor in spirit under salvation, and those that become poor in spirit under service, those that become poor in spirit in separation from the world, it's those that make a difference, because the characteristics show, and as the characteristics show, it salts the earth. It salts the earth. How salty are you in your Christian life? How poor in spirit are you? Are you poor enough to be salty enough? Well, what kind of light of the world? You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. People can't help but see Christ and can't help but see a difference when they see a Christian living poor in spirit. Understanding that their whole spiritual makeup is totally lacking within themselves, and it's only the Spirit of God that can make a difference. It's only the Spirit of God that can and will and does make the difference. Therefore, he says, that kind of salt will not lose its savor. That kind of light will not be able to be hid. That kind of light will shine forth and shine abroad and make a difference in a dark age and in a dark generation. And those two things will result. But then we see finally, and I close quickly with this, but there's the enemy of the poor in spirit. I would imagine most everybody in here could probably tell me that enemy, because you're probably already thinking in your mind your greatest enemy of being poor in spirit. Can I spell it? P-R-I-D-E. The enemy of pride. As long as we're living as a proudful Christian, not willing to submit ourselves before God, not willing to hunger before him, not willing to be humble before him, not willing to live pure, and not willing to let him use us as a peacemaker, and not willing to joy in persecution, not really being the salt and not really being the light that Jesus intended us to be, we better check up and see, could it be because of pride? What's somebody going to think if I humble myself and before the Lord? Certainly I should be able to handle this, and certainly I should be able to contend with this, and certainly I need to take care of that, and so forth. I, me. Problem is, you hadn't become poor in spirit. The enemy of pride. The Bible said in Psalms 34:18, said the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice of God are of broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. James 4:6-10, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Very simple, straightforward Bible instructions. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Poor in spirit. Oh, God. I need you, and I need you with all my heart. I need your help. I need your everything that you promised. I need it. I don't have it. He giveth more grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Anytime you are moved by the Spirit of God, and I am moved by the Spirit of God, there is one enemy of Satan that will try to spoil your moving towards God. He'll usually use the biggest, ugliest, nastiest, whatever it looks like, tool of pride. You really ought to reconsider this. After all, casting doubt upon what God says and what God is trying to do. And so no wonder the Bible said, when you submit yourself therefore to God, you've got a second thing to do. You better resist the devil. You better understand he's going to try to talk you out of doing what God wants you to do. And he's going to try to convince you that God is a liar, and yet God cannot lie. Satan is the father of lies. And so the Bible is very simple there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And I love the last part. He will flee from you. Oh, boy, I run the devil off. Pride. Come on now. No, you didn't run him off. If you came in humility and you came in hunger, you came in the poorness of spirit to God. He, as you drawed near to him and you resisted the devil, he fled because of who Jesus is, not because of who you are. That's where all these crazy religious philosophies come from. Where man can do this and man can do that, and man's empowered here and man's empowered there. No, it's God. If anything's accomplished, it's not of man, it's of God. It's God doing something. And for God's honor and for God's glory, he will share his glory with no man. And it's to him be praised. So we just simply submit, resist. The devil flees, and we draw nigh to God, and he thinks about drawing nigh to you. Not at all. He will draw near to you. He will deliver you. He will help you. He will bless you. He will give you that supernatural ability of Him allowing you to be able to exceedingly rejoice. He will be able to help you. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Poor in spirit. And He shall lift you up. A lot of us are like some kind of a farmer's jack. And we're getting underneath the load and we're trying to jack up and pick up that load. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who've thrown that jack away, they don't have it anymore. Don't have anything of their own. Don't have any way of being blessed. Cannot bless themselves. Cannot possibly produce these characteristics in their life. These characteristics are not of man. These characteristics are of God. And they come by those that will be poor in spirit, that they might be blessed of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You instructed the disciples, preparing them for all those many things that we read about, that they were left to endure and left to experience. But I am positively sure there is great rejoicing among those disciples even today. Not in their own power, not in their own strength, not in their own accomplishments, but in the marvelous, mighty blessings of God upon their life and upon their ministry. Lord, I pray tonight that we would see our need and try to yield to You the best we know how. Our own sinful pride. And come humbly and bow, becoming poor of spirit in whatever need is in our life. Let You take control. Let You be able to bless us. Let You be able to make a difference in our life. And for the main reason, not only of the blessing and the abundant life in a wicked world, but for the sake of being able to salt the earth and be able to be a part of that light of the world, that others might see Christ as they see these characteristics that only You can produce in us. We'll be careful to thank You for what You do and how You use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to hymnals number 270. I believe it's a very appropriate invitational tonight. Number 270. And have you ever noticed the appetite we have for the things of the world? And strange is it not that no matter how great that appetite is, enough is never enough in that industry. If I just had a few more dollars, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had a better car, if we just had more, 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 and you get more and you always want more. You heard me say it before. Someone asked Rockefeller one time and said, how much is enough? And he said, $1 more. $1 more is chasing that endless rainbow. So when the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be what? Or hunger and thirst, they shall be what? Filled. Only God can fill the appetite of the soul. Only He can fill it. Let's bow our heads one more time. We're going to stand in a few moments and sing this song. Father, we thank You tonight for the message we've heard. And Lord, when we look around our homes and our houses, if we could just get a glimpse of real poverty, we would begin to realize, compared to much of the world, we live like kings. Lord, but that's only speaking in a material sense. And Lord, as Christians today, our pursuit is of things. Things that we can't take with us. Things that decay and things that rust. Things that can be stolen. Things that in the end of time will be consumed. Lord, only those things which we can send before us. Souls. Souls that are saved. And yet, Father, we wonder oftentimes why we're so powerless. And Lord, it's because oftentimes we're trying to win in the flesh that which can only be done by the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, tonight, pray that You'll guide and direct in this invitation time to, Lord, really grab a hold of hearts. And hearts will grab a hold of the truth tonight and be changed eternally. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is Diane just quietly, please? Number 270 on our hymnals, but we're going to sing it in just a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? The Spirit of the Lord has spoken to me, and I want to so fully surrender to know that hunger, to know that thirst, and to know that only God can fill it. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? In closing, preacher, yes, hands are here and hands are there. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? I don't want to live even as a prideful Christian. I want to live as a humble believer. I want the Spirit of the Lord to humble me tonight. So when I leave here tonight, I'm going to hunger and I'm going to thirst after righteousness. I'm going to pursue it with every fiber of my being. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? Mom and dad, husbands and wives, homes, families, young people tonight. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing tonight? Would you pray for me tonight? It may be for salvation. You're hungering and you're thirsting and you can't find what you're looking for in the world. God's brought you here tonight for a reason. He realized that the only place you're going to be able to fulfill that hunger and fulfill that thirst is in the person of Jesus Christ. And tonight you need to fully give your life to Christ and say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of this pursuit that just is endless. And I want it to end tonight by receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? I have no idea where I'm going to spend eternity, but would you pray for me tonight? Preacher, would you pray? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, would you pray? Well, let's stand tonight and turn in hymnals to number 270 tonight. Lord, I need You. I need You. Number 270. Listen, as we're singing and God's spoken to your heart and you truly need the Lord, would you step out tonight and come to the throne and say, Lord, I need You. Whether it's to salvation or whether it's to sanctification, Lord, I need You. I need You. Would you come tonight? He'll meet you here. He's going to meet you right here tonight. On that first answer, sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from You. Isn't that true? And soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words You long to hear. Lord, I need You. Would you come tonight if we sing on that first stanza?
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way.
Would you come tonight, God spoke into your heart? Would you come tonight and say, Lord, I need You. I need You more than I've ever needed You in the past. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. Maybe it's someone in your family that needs to be saved. And you've been working so hard. And you need that tonight. You need to give them. You need to give your life to the Lord. And say, Lord, I need You tonight. Maybe it's something that you're wrestling with, a health issue, a financial issue. Maybe it's a spiritual issue tonight, and you just need to surrender and say, Lord, I need You. Maybe it's the salvation tonight. Lord, I need you. Would you come tonight if God spoke into your heart? Come to the altar. Young person, mom and dad. Come as a family. Come as a husband and a wife. Lord, I need you. I need you tonight. Would you come tonight? You want someone to pray? Just come right here. We'll have someone come. We'll have someone pray with you tonight. But would you come? Don't walk out of here tonight having sung the words, not meant business with the Lord.
Lord, I need.
Second stanza says, Lord, help me to remember I'm weak. I made a statement back some time ago that we're a lot weaker than we're willing to admit, and not nearly as strong as we think we are. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you. You don't have a song apart from Christ. If you do, it's a worldly song. For Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. Does that describe your life tonight? Then you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I need you tonight. Would you come tonight on that second stanza? Would you come tonight? God speaking to you tonight. You allow the Lord to take control of your life, your heart. Oh, I tell you what a difference He can make. Man, you get some problems in your life, problems in your marriage, maybe some problems at work, maybe some problems between mom and dad and the children. You need the Lord tonight. You need Him, and you know you need Him. To meet with myself or Doctor and Sheila or my wife, we'd be glad to meet with you after the service. But don't leave here tonight needing the Lord, thinking you can just muscle it through one more day, or you can muscle it through one more week. I know about you, but I'm glad that God brought me to that place where I just got so sick and tired of trying to muscle through my life. And the day He broke our hearts and brought us back. God may be speaking to you tonight. Don't leave here without getting it straightened out. Amen. Amen. Pastor Foster, would you close in prayer for us tonight, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight that you would help us to understand that every breath that we take is a gift from you. Father, every day that we have of life is from your precious hand. Lord, help us to rely upon you. Lord, may we do it with a willing heart, recognizing the frailty of who we are and the great need of our lives. Lord, we pray, Father, if we cannot learn to rely on you as we should, what hope does our nation have? What hope do our communities have? So, Father, I bid you help us to learn to be meek in spirit, poor. Father, recognizing really what we really already are. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have made it sharp and powerful. Through the Holy Spirit, it can change our lives. Lord, I just ask tonight that you would just go with us. May the Word of God go in our hearts. And then we go from this place, not just stirred, but changed. We ask your watch care upon us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you want a copy of any of the messages today, there will be DVDs will be out sometime this week, or get on the list here with Brother Justin back there. If you want a copy and you happen to have a jump drive or thumb drive, most part, we can download them in MP3 formats. You can check it back there. We got the hub all set up and ready to roll. So if you need a copy.
Amen.